The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now I'm joined in studio by Arthur Cummings, consultant ophthalmologist from the Wellington Clinic at the Beacon. Arthur, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
You're just back from China.
I am, yes. I had an amazing tour there of an empire in eye hospitals, 700 eye hospitals in one country.
Wow.
And I've just seen the future, I think.
And the technology they use, is it more advanced or similar to what we use
here? No, similar to what we use. It's just the way they think and the scale in which they think. And I'm so impressed by this group. They are a big listed company, but they adhere to basics. Good education for the surgeons. That's why I was there, treating their staff well, based on very good things. A very good outreach program, philanthropic program. It's just really, really impressive.
Now, one of the things that you want to mention today is a shortage, potentially, of ophthalmologists.
That's exactly right. So what we see today around the world, almost universally, is that there are more ophthalmologists retiring than there are young ophthalmology trainees coming into training. And it's especially a problem in the US and in China. Now, in the US, they have something like a reduction of 5% in the next 10 years, but an increase in workload of 40%. So this huge mismatch.
Now, why is the workload going up? Is it that you can do more things?
No, the aging population. It's a very good question, but the aging population. So people are living longer and then they're getting cataracts and AMD and glaucoma and these kinds of things. In China, there's a 180% increase in the workload coming their way because they were quite slow. You know, they have the same population as India, yet the rate of cataract surgery in India is probably 7-8 times higher than in China. So they've got a backlog. So they're increasing their workload by 180%, their workforce by 50%, but there's still this 88% massive mismatch.
Mm. Now, you'd imagine that it's a very good profession to be in. You know, the technology is improving all the time. You can help more people more easily. It's, I presume, a reasonably rewarding financially. So what's the problem?
That's a fantastic question. I think it comes to the crux of the issue, and that is that medical school has become so congested with so many different specialties that ophthalmology used to get 2 weeks of training within the 7 years, and it's now going to maybe a couple of days in the 7 years, and there's talk of, in fact, leaving it out completely. So young doctors aren't exposed to ophthalmology. So there's a huge job to create awareness for medical schools.
Yeah, because one of the things, if you discover some real problem like a cancer, you generally will pass that problem on to somebody else. Isn't that so?
Exactly right.
That most of the work you do is good news.
Yes, exactly. It's a brilliant profession. I mean, I couldn't, as you know, my son has done it. He's an ophthalmologist and I couldn't be happier for him. It's a very rewarding from the way you help people on a daily basis.
Well, there's the cue for many of our Leaving Cert students to maybe focus on, if you'll pardon the pun, on something that can be very rewarding in every sense of the word. Now, loads of questions coming in. I had laser surgery for both eyes for cataracts 4 years ago. I had to have YAG on both eyes a month ago, and one of them still feels like there's a film over it. Is this normal?
It could be. So what the person had was cataract surgery. The lens is replaced with a clear lens. And what's happened is the little capsule that the lens is resting on has gone slightly cloudy. So that's a YAG laser that opens it again. And sometimes, two things. It's not opened widely enough, which is a possibility, but unlikely because the ophthalmologist knows what they're doing. And the second reason would be that it mightn't have been the only reason that the vision was slightly cloudy. There's another thing that happens to everyone called the vitreous detachment, where the jelly comes loose. And the jelly in the back of the eye that's loose might also be impacting the vision. So it's just important to have that checked out.
So this is not something that's terribly unusual?
No, not at all.
I have, I think this might be the pronunciation, blepharitis for years. I apply hot compress on my eyes and use OcuSoft foam daily. Is there anything else I can do?
There are loads of things you can do. Blepharitis, first of all, is a chronic condition and it's very, very ubiquitous. You find it everywhere. And there are two types. One is just where there's blockage of the little glands that produce oil and it's not infected. But then there's also an infective type where the lash margin becomes infected. And if someone's getting recurrent blepharitis, often they're carrying the bug that causes it in their nose. And if they don't address the bugs in the nose, then
it'll keep happening.
Exactly right.
I have minus 2.5 vision, but find glasses very challenging. I'm 52. Would I be suitable for implantable lens surgery? That's from Hillary in Limerick.
Hillary, maybe you need to make sure that you're a candidate. But the big thing about someone who's minus two is you have perfect near vision. And whatever solution you go for, whether it's blended vision or a multifocal solution, you're going to find that it's taken something away from your near vision. So once we're 45 years old, whatever we do represents some kind of compromise. And one of the compromises is having perfect near vision, but then you need glasses for distance. So it's one you'd have to consider carefully and maybe do a contact lens trial to see if the other options are better solutions.
From Mary in Dublin 7, I'm 50 and I have a leaky left eye, particularly when I cycle. Eyesight is good and I do wear reading glasses. I presume she means tearing up when she's...
Exactly right. So one of two things. If it was both eyes, it could be just that the eyes are slightly dry. So to compensate, you create more tears and they run over your cheek. If it's one eye only, it's more likely that the drainage system is blocked. So it makes a lot of sense to see an ophthalmologist and make sure, because they can quite easily just probe the little ducts and open it again. And if it doesn't, then there are a number of specialists around the country who can address that further.
So normally what happens when the eye generates a tear, there is a drain.
Yes.
Is that it? And
yeah.
If the drain is blocked.
Exactly. Then it runs over the lid margin.
Okay. My teenage daughter has astigmatism. Eyes are -4 and -4.5. Would she be suitable for laser surgery?
As long as her cornea is thick enough, at the age of 18, it would be very possible. If the corneas aren't thick enough, at the age of 18, you can consider doing an ICL. We've spoken about it before, where you implant an additional lens. You implant a contact lens, and that's a lifelong solution until you get cataracts one day.
There was a time many years ago when astigmatism was not deemed to be suitable for laser surgery. That has changed?
That's exactly right. Yeah, that changed sort of 98, somewhere around there. But it was. It's still today. There's still people who think, including referring doctors, who think that you still cannot correct astigmatism.
No, I'm going to read this as I see it,
okay,
because I'm not sure I understand it at all. My 8-year-old daughter has been diagnosed with muscular eye palsy in right superior oblique or left superior rectus. This is causing her to tilt her head in order to keep balance. Is there anything that can be done to rectify this, as I fear it is getting worse?
Yes, there are things that can be done. So what she's had is an injury to one of the muscles that rotates the eye. And the most common thing, it's the longest cranial nerve in the brain, the fourth cranial nerve that supplies that muscle only. And you can injure it quite easily even with birth trauma that manifests later, or with, you know, kids falling off bicycles and bumping their heads, with that kind of thing. But muscle surgery can address that. And the person to see would be a pediatric ophthalmologist who specializes in strabismus. And there are a number of very good units, Temple Street, Crumlin, a lot of private people around the country too.
Is there an effective treatment for intermediate uveitis?
Yes, there is. But again, it depends on exactly what the cause is. So intermediate uveitis is inflammation inside the eye. It's not right at the back and it's not in the front, but it's sort of just behind the lens. And some of those conditions, you do find a group where they just don't respond on a long-term basis. You've got to repeatedly give steroid injections or steroid medication to try and keep the inflammation under control.
This is from Paul in Galway. Most mornings when I awake, my eyes are dried out and stuck closed. If I open them fast without thinking, or if an alarm goes off, I spend the day in agony with double vision. It used to heal fairly rapidly in the morning, but now it takes a full day minimum to improve. My vision is definitely not as sharp as in the past as a result. I've tried drops and gels. Sometimes they work, sometimes not. Any advice would be greatly appreciated, as it's beginning to affect my professional life also.
Oh, he's absolutely right. It's a horrible condition. It's called recurrent corneal erosion syndrome, and he's described the mechanism exactly right. So the first thing to do is to put a gel in at night and make sure the gel is in the lower lid, and then you close your eyes tightly to make sure you're protected the whole night. If that doesn't work, you can wear a contact lens for up to 6 weeks that protects the surface. If that doesn't work, you can do laser just on the surface, which it makes the surface bind more to the corneal stroma. So it can be treated. He needs to see an ophthalmologist.
What's happening with developments in stem cell therapies for wet macular degeneration and other chronic eye conditions? A great progress was indicated some years back from initial trials, but little news since. That's from Liam.
Yeah, Liam, I'm sorry, I don't know too much about that right now. I know stem cell therapy is becoming very popular and successful with corneal conditions and limbal conditions around the cornea. In the back of the eye, I haven't heard much about that recently.
Next one. I'm tortured with dry eye. It has reached the point that they're causing pain and even splitting headaches. I've tried every eye drop on the market. I use the gel at night, but simply dries out quickly and congeals, causing me to wake in the middle of the night with discomfort. I have the eye cleansing wipes and a heat mask. Nothing works to create ease for longer than a number of hours. Is there any surgery or advanced treatment available for this?
All right, so this also sounds a bit like some recurrent corneal erosion syndrome attached to it. But once you get to a point where you've tried all the drops, and I'm assuming that means to try the drops that are also being prescribed by doctors, so not over-the-counter drops, but, you know, prescribed drops, then you really have one solution only, and that is serum tears. And that's where eye drops are made from your own blood. So your blood's taken by the blood banks. What they do is they centrifuge it and then separate the cells from the plasma and make eye drops from your plasma. There's also... I think St. James's might be doing this, where they're pooling plasma from patients and giving eye drops from plasma. So the eye drops contain then a lot of growth factors, and that can help.
Use this technique for all sorts of arthritic conditions and so on injuries.
And skin healing and so forth.
My eyes are welling up all the time. Is there a solution to this? It's less in summer, but they are still wet.
Yeah, it's the same thing we discussed earlier. We need to look at one of two things. Are you producing too many tears because your eyes are dry? That sounds like a conflict or an oxymoron. But dry eyes are often very wet. And the other thing is, as Pat said earlier, there's a drain and the drain's blocked.
I developed floaters in my right eye over 4 weeks ago, both web and spot floaters. I had spot laser surgery repair 4 days later. Although the floaters have somewhat eased, I'm wondering if they ever completely clear. Will they recur? What types of foods and supplements should I introduce into my diet for eye health?
All right, so for eye health, just general multivitamins. And then for macular health or retinal health, the likes of zeaxanthin, mesozeaxanthin, and they in the group of, what are they calling them? MacuShield, MacuPrime. In terms of floaters, they tend to get better over time for two reasons. One is you adjust to it when your brain understands the problem's not outside the eye, but inside the eye. There's the ability to switch them off. And then the jelly inside the eye over time moves further forward away from the retina. And as it does that, it casts less of a shadow, so they become less obvious.
This one, I've always had small floaters in my eyes, but over the last 6 months, more have appeared. I now have 7 long ones. It's getting very distracting, and I'm concerned about my eye health. What should I do? Actually, being able to count the floaters seems quite remarkable.
Yeah, it means they're big and they're bothersome and they're close to the back of the eye, casting a very definite shadow. So a retinal specialist can do a procedure called a posterior vitrectomy where they remove them. There's also some work being done in the last few years on zapping them with a laser to break them up. Hasn't really caught on in a big way, but what I do know is there's a lot of research being done in more advanced lasers that actually track the floaters and can shoot them and break them down. But that's probably 2-3 years away.
A 43-year-old male nearsight has degraded quite a bit in the last 12 months. Can I get laser surgery to fix this, or is it just part of getting older?
That is just part of getting older, but you can fix it. I mean, today, I would say at least half of the work we do is for people who don't want to need reading glasses up close anymore. So there are lots of things you can do with laser or with lens implants to address that.
Can you ask the ophthalmologist if there's any contact lens solution for color blindness?
No, but I do know there are some contact lens colors, so different shades of contact lenses who people claim provide a better color sensitivity, but nothing that I've seen published or that I've heard colleagues speaking about.
Can anything be done for a 12-year-old who previously had insufficient convergence? She underwent 10 months of vision therapy. That seemed to work. She never complains about it. Her optician thinks she should wear minus lenses, but the behavioral ophthalmologist disagrees.
That's an interesting one. I think that's a very specialist space, even though it's a very, very common condition. But if someone over minuses, it means you've got to work harder to converge so that it exercises the muscle. It sort of makes sense to me, and I think it's worth trying. You know, put the glasses on and see what it does. There's also, you know, the Binox program for a lazy eye.
Yeah.
They've got a very good program to improve convergence. So what they might do is just go and look at the Binox website. It's all done remotely. But there's a program that's like 10 minutes a day, I think, for 6 weeks that can really improve convergence. And convergence for the listeners is simply being able to follow your thumb closer and closer as you bring it closer to your face, that your eyes can converge and focus on.
So basically trying to exercise the muscle too.
Exactly.
Yeah. I've an impact cataract as a result of an accident in 1981. What are my options? Long time ago, 1981. That's from Gary.
Yeah, that's a very long time ago. And it depends on what age you were then, Gary. It could be that if it was during your visual development stage, it might be that you treat the cataract and get no benefit. And if it happened later in life, once your vision was established, then you may find that there might be an upside to it. I mean, there likely will be an upside to it. The key thing is also going to be to make sure that the back of your eye is healthy. That same accident might have hurt the back of your eye, so you need to make sure that's okay.
I'm a 71-year-old woman who gets occasional pain in the eye. I had an eye test recently and no sign of macular degeneration. What could the pain be?
Oh, the pain could be so many things, Pat. It's just unbelievable. Many would come from referred pain from the cornea, like we've heard twice this morning, the recurrent corneal erosion type injury. You can also get referred pain from elsewhere, sinusitis and from neck pain. So if we see 20 patients with complaining of eye pain, 19 of those are complaining of referred pain from sinusitis. The other one is really complaining about referred pain from the neck. So very few patients with eye pain actually have the source of pain in the eye.
I got LASIK treatment 21 years ago. My eyesight is now becoming poorer. I have a cataract building in one eye. If I have a lens replacement, will that be a solution? And how long would that solution last? I'm 62.
So if you have a lens replacement and you're lucky enough that you land up being on target, so you get the result you want, that tends to be stable. So the reason our vision changes as we get older is the lens inside the eye. It's not the LASIK wearing off. It's the lens inside the eye that's been changing. And if you replace that lens with an artificial lens, it doesn't change.
And finally, one more. I'm 50 years old, very short-sighted, minus 24 in both eyes, and I've had some hemorrhages at the back of the eye. I recently also have started regular injections for wet macular degeneration and have had cataract surgery. Worked very well, but now slightly long-sighted in one eye, plus one, and have small astigmatisms in both eyes. Wondering if it would be worth getting laser done to correct the long-sightedness and the astigmatism or any other solution. Okay with wearing reading glasses, but I'd prefer not to also have to wear glasses for long sight.
So laser would certainly be possible if, a test or a glasses test or a contact lens trial show that there was a real benefit in doing it. But a plus one laser is a very small correction. As we spoke earlier, astigmatism is easy to treat than it was 20 years ago. So there might be merit in looking at it.
And have to examine all the
options
because it's a complicated situation.
Arthur,
thank you very much for joining us. Arthur Cummings, consultant ophthalmologist from the Wellington Clinic at The Beacon.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.